Although, you know, I've heard, which kind of has surprised me, but on the other hand, maybe not, that some patients would rather get chemo because they want to get it over with.
It might be also related to financial reasons, to be honest.
Right.
Of course, when you're paying out of pocket, you know, the Taxol is a cheap agent. It's been generic for a decade or so, so it costs nothing. So basically, you're done in 4 months and a half. And depending, of course, on how much the hospital will charge you, depending on your country, but it might be quite a cheap option. Now, if you're using abiraterone or enzalutamide or apalutamide, again, depending on your country, the cost might change, but it's probably several thousand euros or dollars every month. Again, if you're paying out of pocket, it makes a difference. That's very obvious.
So, you know, a lot of times we have to just live with the data that we have. But one thing I have been kind of wondering about are taxanes and prostate cancer. Obviously, docetaxel was kind of the original taxane. What do we know, though, for example, I don't know if you have any sort of data or even clinical experience to compare cabazitaxel to docetaxel? Is it just a question of that's the way the trials were done? Would there be any rationale to use cabazi first? How much do we know about paclitaxel, nab-paclitaxel in prostate?
You're right, actually. I mean, paclitaxel, for example, was never really developed in prostate cancer. There was a couple of phase two a long time ago, almost 20 years now, but the decision was never made to move to phase three development, probably because of a loss of patent, to be honest. Now, for cabazitaxel, cabazitaxel was first shown to be active post-docetaxel, that's right, but we had actually a big phase three trial comparing the two taxanes in the first-line setting. And this trial was testing docetaxel, cabazitaxel with a dose of 20 milligrams per square meter, and cabazitaxel with a dose of 25 milligrams per square meter, so two doses of CABA. And actually, if you're really looking, let's say as a doctor, as you and me would do, to the data, probably cabazitaxel 20 was the winner, because the efficacy was really the same across arms. The Kaplan-Meier curves are really, really similar, if not exactly the same. And regarding the toxicity, the side effect, cabazitaxel 20 was less toxic than cabazitaxel 25, but also less toxic than docetaxel was. So ideally, you know, in my practice, I would prefer using cabazitaxel 20 as, you know, the first taxane to use. Now, in terms of approval, that's not the case because this was a superiority trial and CABA was not superior to docetaxel, so it's not approved in this indication, so I cannot use it. But you're very right. I mean, if I really had the choice to do so, I would use CABA 20. We actually did, you know, at my center, a randomized phase two trial, a patient's preference trial. So we were giving either docetaxel or cabazitaxel first, and then a 3 month time, so four cycles, we were switching for patients, of course, not progressing for ethical reasons. We were switching to the other taxane for an additional four cycles or so. And then at the end, we were asking the patient which one he preferred. And there was actually a preference for cabazitaxel.
That's really amazing. What was it specifically? Which side effect could they tell the difference on?
So the main side effects are actually fatigue, hair loss, which is much more frequent with docetaxel as compared to cabazitaxel, and also quality of life in general. On top of that, we all know that docetaxel has more neurotoxicity, has more nail problems, while cabazitaxel has more hematotoxicity, but this is something you can prevent with G-CSF support, and more rarely some diarrhea.
I was kind of flashing on some of the debates that went on about pazopanib and sunitinib and renal cell cancer, but that all got blown away with checkpoint inhibitors and everything else. But I remember at one point that was kind of similar to what you were talking about.